Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Happy Freedom Friday.
Happy Freedom Friday.
Feels like a good day for a Friday.
You know what? As a new dad, I would have to agree.
How's new dad life treating you?
It's going good. It's a blast.
Yes.
You know, I think right now the biggest thing, because, you know, I had my 2 weeks off and that was awesome. I had kind of figured out my patterns and we're good to go. But now we've introduced work back into things and, you know, get up a little early. And so I'm a little extra sleepy. So I'm kind of like figuring out now I got to figure out the new pattern again.
Yeah, because you're kind of juggling two jobs, right?
You've got
your job here in radio and then your new dad gig.
That's exactly right. Both full time.
Both full time and both don't allow for a lot of sleep.
That's right. But we're making it.
What's been the most surprising thing you've learned as a new dad? In case you missed it, Young Thunder and his bride welcomed little baby Eliana, baby girl, a couple weeks ago. Most surprising thing so far that you've learned?
It's a good question. I would say the most surprising thing I've learned is... And I mean this, I don't mean it in a getting myself down type of way. I just think it's true that I am wholly incapable of this, like 100% incapable. And it's a good thing because it does draw me closer to the Lord. And I'm appreciative of that. If I thought I had it going on and I was doing great, you know, but I think there are moments of stress, there's moments of fear, and in those things, obviously parts of yourself that you don't like very much or maybe you think need to change start to come out and you see them and you go, man, I can't do this in my own strength. I really need God to come in and be more than I can be.
Yeah, I think parenting... marriage refines you in some ways.
True.
Marriage kind of exposes some things.
Yeah.
And then when you become a parent, I think it's a whole other process. I think it's even a further refining because you're even less, not that there's the illusion of control. So not that we're in control of anything.
Yeah.
But with parenting, you really become aware even more acutely of your lack of control because now you're responsible for this other little person.
Right.
And especially when they're, you know, 2-3 weeks old, you're trying to read their little cues and what does this cry mean? And is this normal?
Absolutely. The amount of people we've texted saying, hey, this is going on. Is this normal? Can we expect more of this? And they're like, yeah, you're fine. Don't worry.
If you got a little piece of advice for Young Thunder and his bride as they navigate this first month of parenthood, you can shoot them our way by text message, 312-274-9624. He's a dad. He's a radio host. Sometimes life gives you opportunities to have multiple jobs that are compatible. Sometimes a bit of an odd pairing. Got one of those stories this morning. It's a Freedom Friday special. Someone who has an odd pairing of jobs, but he says they actually help each other out quite a bit.
Gotta go into work? Don't worry. Check out the Carl and Crew Showcast wherever you like to stream. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, if you ever grew up watching some of those courtroom dramas, you know, you'd see the lawyer walk in with the briefcase and put it down on the table, and there was a defendant. There was all this. Did you ever watch any of these
Perry
shows?
Perry Mason comes to mind.
Law and Order. The People's Court, Judge Judy.
Oh, well, that one was its own lane.
Yeah, thank you.
But we have these images in our mind. Even if you've never been in a courtroom, you've seen enough TV to kind of figure out how that works. So I've got a guest who might blow your circuits a little bit when it comes to those lawyer stereotypes. He's a lawyer. He's also a pastor. They call you Pastor Sam unless you're in the legal realm, and then they just call you Sam. Is that right? Sam Mendenhall, our guest this morning.
Yes, that's right, Allie. Good morning.
So how much of those courtroom drama stereotypes are actually true to life?
Not a lot of it. It's made for TV drama. The actual courtroom plays out a little different. There's very few Perry Mason moments. It still makes for good TV.
So your story actually probably makes for good TV, too. I mean, the combination of being both a pastor, you currently serve as a pastor at Hope Church in Bronzeville, non-denominational church, but you also have served on some pretty high-profile cases. You've won a lot of recognition for being one of the best lawyers in the state and in the country. How do you merge those two very different kind of callings?
Yes, it's been a journey of faith. And if I ever wrote a book, Allie, it would be called The Law of Faith, where I merge the law and faith together. I actually think my faith plays a tremendous part in the courtroom in terms of operating with integrity, operating where the jurors believe you and they know promises made are promises kept.
Have you seen this play out? I mean, a lawyer, although I'd like to believe that everyone operates with the highest level of integrity, I'm not that naive. Can you think of examples where you feel like you were able to really connect with a jury in a different way because of your faith?
Oh, very much so. A lot of my cases at the beginning, I will tell them the evidence will show A, B, C, and D. And then throughout the course of a trial, then when I come to closing arguments, I will tell them, in the beginning, I promised you A, B, C, and D. Well, here are the witnesses that backed up that. And then I walk them through the witnesses. And then I close often with promises made are promises kept.
How about how the other way? Does your work as a lawyer impact your calling as a pastor?
Absolutely. And I like to tell them every Sunday I'm making a closing argument to the congregation about Jesus and about faith and how Jesus can change your life. So with the closing argument, I try to list at least 3 points to my sermon for them to take away and apply to their lives throughout the week. There's one thing to be a Christian on Sunday, Allie, but the work starts Monday through Saturday.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about your background. You know what? Coming up, I want you to do that. I want to give you a little bit of time here. You grew up in a housing project here in Chicago, went off to serve in the U.S. Army, graduated number one in your class. I'll give our listeners that much, and then you're going to fill in the rest of the story coming up here on Carl and Crew Mornings. Our special guest, Sam Mendenhall.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, he grew up right here in Chicago, public housing projects, went off to serve in the Army. You were number one in your class, served with distinction. Give us a little bit more about your background.
It's been a journey of faith. I was originally raised in 2 public housing projects, started off on the west side of Chicago and then on the south side of Chicago. And my parents instilled 3 things in me that which has been crucial throughout the first process. The first is, with God, all things are possible. The second one is, where you start doesn't have to be where you finish. And then the third one, they said, you live in public housing. Public housing doesn't have to live in you. And so from those 3 takeaways, I knew there was something bigger and something better for me if I just continue to follow the path of Christ, in which they introduced me to him at an early age.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that, because, you know, when you think about all of the, and you mentioned some of them, the negative stereotypes or the being looked down upon, how did your faith in Christ help you to build a better life?
My mom was very religious. She gave her life to Christ at an early age. And she, by way of background, she named me Samuel after Samuel in the Bible.
Yes.
She gave me back to the Lord at birth. And she has always told me I would do something great in ministry. I'm still striving for greatness. As Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he that has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion. We're all works in progress, but I strive every day to reflect Christ. People can see better than they can hear. So, Allie, I like to show them Christ rather than just tell them about Christ.
Yeah. You were named, listed under the most influential minority lawyers in Chicago by Crain's Custom Media in 2017, also included in the nation's best list of lawyers of color. So we've talked about your work as a lawyer, your calling as a pastor. As a man of color, do you feel a greater weight of responsibility as you carry these different assignments?
Yes, I really strive to be a role model, Allie, by way of before I pastored in Bronzeville, my new church. I pastored in Englewood for about 4 years. And every day when I walked the streets and interacted with the people, volunteered at a battered women's shelter, volunteered at the elementary school, volunteered at the nursing homes, I wanted them to see a black man with faith and with a positive image, not what they see on TV. Yeah. And just letting them know that I came from them, I'm one of them, and the one difference in my life that has made all the difference was Jesus Christ.
So what is it that keeps you going each day? I imagine that the challenges are great between your role pastoring and your role as a lawyer. You're carrying the burdens of a lot of different people. What is it that keeps you going each day and keeps you walking with the Lord?
One thing, Allie, if I can sum up my life in one sentence, it would be this. I feel we are put on this earth to make a difference, not money. If you happen to make money in the process, use it to make a difference. So every day I try to make a difference. And on those days I don't, I try to make a difference the next day. Every day I'm striving for him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Sam Mendenhall, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been a real treat letting our listeners get to know you a little bit. Thank you.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Coming up, we are going to be bringing in Elizabeth Smith to talk to us about Moody Bible Institute, Children and Family Ministry. A young Fender, you probably will be thinking about children and family ministry now that you are a dad.
Certainly. I mean, sometimes it's all I think about because, like, I'm like, I have this child. I have to teach her. How do you teach a child things? How do you teach her how to walk, how to crawl? How do you teach her how to speak? How do I minister to her when she can start to understand those concepts? And so, yeah, it is a lot of what occupies my mind right now.
Did you ever serve in the nursery or do any sort of?
I did, yeah. So when
did
I,
you?
Yeah,
okay.
when I was I don't know, probably middle school, early high school, people used to call me the baby magnet because babies just really liked me. And so I was in the twos and threes class a lot when I was in middle school and high school.
Okay, that's surprising, but not surprising. I mean, surprising because most middle school, high school boys are not who are in the twos and threes.
This is very true.
But knowing your personality, I can totally see why that was a good vibe for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a babysitter, and so that was my first job. So, yeah, I loved kids, even when I was a kid myself. So, yeah.
So you feel like you came into fatherhood with a little bit more experience?
No, not at all. Watching someone else's kids is so different.
It's a lot different
than having your own. Last night, my wife and I celebrated because she's 3 weeks today. And we were like, can you believe it? We've been taking care of her and she's doing okay.
Yeah, when you serve in the nursery, the service will eventually end.
Yeah.
And the parents will come and pick those children up.
Right. Well, and when, even if the kid is having a gigantic problem, you know what you can do? You can go get the parents and say, hey, can you come comfort your child? But now you're the comforter.
Now you're the one. Nobody's coming to pick her up.
No, it's me. I'm the one who picks her up.
Having a lot of fun here this morning on this Freedom Friday. Coming up, we've got Elizabeth Smith from Moody Bible Institute.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, imagine a program at a college where there's a 100% placement rate, where every student who comes through gets a job, goes out and does exactly what they were trained to do. Elizabeth Smith joins us right now, a youth program head of Children and Family Ministry. 100% of your students go on to get placed somewhere. Tell us about that first. That's awesome.
It is awesome. My students, because they have a heart for the next generation, you can imagine there are children all over the world in all sorts of circumstances. Some want to go into ministry in the church as a children or family pastor or director. Some go to camping and want to be a director or writing curriculum or working with the kiddos. Some want to move on to get their master's in clinical mental health because they want to reach those hurting children. But we partner with a lot of ministries like Awana and Compassion International. And so the hardest thing for my students is not if they can be placed on, but it's what they want to do and where they want to go, because there's so many options to reach children for Christ.
You know, and I think a lot of times when people think about ministry to children, they think about nursery workers. They think about you go and in the church that I grew up, you will go down a set of stairs into the basement, and then there's a kind lady who's waiting to take my baby so that I can go to church for 2 hours without hearing the baby cry. You know, that may be an oversimplification, but I don't think it's far off from what a lot of people think of kids ministry. And so some may be surprised that there's a whole program dedicated to children and family ministry. And it's so much more than just serving juice and crackers and occupying kids for a couple of hours, right?
Yeah, don't ever come up to me and go, oh, are you teaching children, your college students to babysit? Now, don't we love a good babysitter? I have raised 3 children. All of our children are in their 30s and they're having children. So we need really good babysitters, but that is not what the church is about.
Yeah.
We absolutely want to love children and to engage with them. And as we work with kids, I mean, of course, those nursery, toddler, early childhood years, preschool. I have students that go on and teach in preschool and they run preschools. And we don't want to underestimate the significance of those early years. And if that's where your heart is, I have some great students who love babies. And we know how important it is through social science research to give that firm foundation of attachment and bonding, and to do so in a faith-filled way. So that is an option, but you also need to have those early elementary and later elementary teachers. And some actually go into home co-op groups and homeschooling, and some go into Christian schools around the world or boarding schools where you have children and they need teaching scripture. They need to be able to be nurtured in Christ. You know, you look at a lot of missionary kids and they go into different kinds of schools around the world. We have a great relationship with one school in Germany, and my students have gone there and to become kind of like RAs, where they're actually living, resident assistants, where they're living with these children who are far from home, but probably because their parents are in parts of the world where they're just not able to stay with them. And my students do a phenomenal job working with them. But, you know, also refugees, immigrants, kids that are homeless on the street, where you see a child who just needs someone to come to Christ, to nurture them for social work, whatever it is, if you have a heart for children. And we look at children about ages 12 and under. That's really where my students are well equipped to go into any of those areas and to make a difference.
I read an article because you recently won an award about a year ago, a Moody Faculty Citation Award. And I love this quote. You said that we are preparing students to go to the front lines of a spiritual war. You're preparing your graduates to go to war. War and children's ministry? Explain that.
We are all in a kingdom war, whether we want to be aware of it or not. God and his kingdom does reign and he is glorious, but there is Satan and his demons, they are against him. And so you can look at that big eternal picture of warfare and anything that the demonic world can come in and to mess us up. And of course, because of our own sin, there is a battle. And when we look at children, and research will tell you that most Christians actually come to Christ before the age of 10. And now research has said, because the world is so aggressive in proselytizing the worldview into our children, that children who have a significant adult in their life outside of their parents, absolutely. That's why it's children and family ministries, to build up families to be able to nurture their children. But if you have another significant adult in your life, that child even has more of an opportunity to have a firm foundation. What's exciting about that is some of my students want to go work in other places to get their paycheck outside of a Christian organization. So we have students in DCFS, Department of Child and Family Services, students who are overseas working with kids who have been trafficked or kiddos who have are in immigration or refugee camps. And these aren't organizations who are necessarily Christian, but they get to go in. My students go in and they get to work with these children. And as they have opportunity, share their faith right there on the front lines of what's going on, both in spiritual battles and in real ones around our world.
Yeah. Moody alumni are from this program, Children and Family Ministry. You're working for organizations like By the Hand Club right here in Chicago, Agape Center, Rafiki Villages in Africa, Children's Pastors. Give us a story of an alumni. I know that there are many that you could tell, but give us one that really makes you grateful for what you get to do here.
Oh, you challenge me when I only get to give you one, because I love them so much and I get to keep in touch with them. I tell them, just because you graduate doesn't mean you leave me. I get to be there to see your life and support you for such a long time. This, in about 2 weeks, I'm going to the Czech Republic. And as you may be aware, there was a war, there is a war between the Ukraine and Russia. And so many, actually, women and children and families have had to flee those war-torn areas in Ukraine. And they have come to other countries, in which a phenomenal ministry called Josiah Venture ministers in these countries. And so they've really had a lot of influx of these Ukrainian refugees that are fleeing. And so in 2 weeks, I'm going to go there and I'm going to work with the missionaries and their kids, Josiah Venture kids, to help them as they process what ministering in the midst of these war has been for them. How has that affected their soul? How has that affected their families? And I'm going to be able to speak. And then I am also a licensed clinical professional counselor. And I'm going to be able to come alongside and counsel them. All of that is head up by one of my alumni, Claire Patty. And so Claire and I even worked through COVID together. I did webinars for her missionaries over there. But she is doing amazing work in many countries, and especially during this really challenging time. Claire is making sure that those children and family, they're being well taken care of. And so she's asked me to come over and to help. And that is my pleasure to do so.
So give your best appeal for someone who's listening. And maybe this sounds like something that they want to check out, or maybe it's for their grandchild or their child or a niece or nephew who they go, you know what, they love God. They have a heart for ministry. Give your best appeal to why Moody Bible Institute may be the place for them.
An older missionary one time told me, we are one generation away from the church being extinct. And in order for us to pass on our faith, reaching the next generation, reaching those children and their families, no matter where they are, no matter what calling someone has, but to equip students well with the Bible and theology framework in which to minister in good and godly ways, bringing them Christ through the gospel and through teaching, but also learning counseling skills, administrative skills, leadership skills, really preparing them for whatever that calling is. We tailor these classes to ensure that however they want to go out and make a difference in the next generation, so we can pass our faith forward to build the kingdom of God. We do that, I think, better at Moody Bible Institute than any other. In fact, according to study.org, we are number one when it comes to children and youth ministries. The children and family ministry major is number one in the country, and I am dedicated to keeping that up and to placing my new students so that they can make a difference.
Elizabeth is the program head of children and family ministry here at Moody Bible Institute, associate professor as well. I want to make sure you know about something special that we've been announcing that's just for the Boom Crew. If you want to text the word Moody to our number, text Moody to 312-274-9624. This is going to give you a promo code that you can use that waives the application fee. If you want to go online and check it out and then go through that application process, you use this promo code, it waives the application fee. And then one more perk that the admissions department has allowed us to offer you: if you go through the process, you are admitted and then successfully enroll in children and family ministry or whatever major, you will drop $500 into your account as kind of just a bonus enrollment perk for the Boom Crew. And you can definitely share this with friends and family members. Just text Moody to 312-274-9624. We'll get you everything you need. Just text Moody to 312-274-9624.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
We've been in Galatians 1 this week talking about these three different anchors. Carl's done some good teaching, by the way. He just has a pre-planned day off today. He's on a writing deadline, so it's just taking some time to get the... He got back edits on his book and now has some revisions. And so he's under the gun a little bit on the deadline. So,
you know what? Fair. I'll give it to him.
And so it was kind of at my insistence.
Oh, said, that he takes some days?
Yeah, I said, go ahead and take the day so that you can really focus on writing. So that's where he's. So that's what he's doing today. So say a prayer for him if you think about it. But Galatians 1, these different anchors, we are. If we want to stay away from drifting into this, what Carl calls this performance Christianity, where we're on this hamster wheel, we're trying to please people, we're trying to earn God's approval, we stay anchored in the gospel, we stay anchored in grace, we stay anchored in Christ. I really enjoyed yesterday's conversation about people pleasing.
What did you enjoy about it?
You know, I think it's easier than we realize to slip into subtle ways of trying to get people to approve of us.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And this can be in ministry. This can be in your service at church where you can slip into, like, I'm an usher and I'm really excited about being an usher. And I hope people see that I'm showing up early on Sunday morning so that I can do my best at being an usher.
Yeah.
And it's like, even very, very subtly, it can be about people.
Oh, absolutely.
People seeing us.
And sometimes it's hoping to be seen. Sometimes it's a fear of the way people will see us.
Yep.
Peer pressure is really difficult. People pleasing is really difficult. So it causes a lot of problems.
I want to give you one more anchor today, and we'll flesh this out a little bit after the top of the hour. But we've been reading through Galatians 1, and when you go on to Galatians 1:11, Paul shares a lot of his own testimony. And I think that we can't miss that there's part of our testimony that anchors us, part of being reminded where we've been and where we are now.
Yes.
And, you know, I won't get too far into this because time is short, but Paul is very clear that he received the gospel and it wasn't a gospel of man. It wasn't because of some person that he received the gospel, that it was a revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about Paul's story, Paul was a violent persecutor of the church. And he is not afraid to remind people that that is who he once was. He was so zealous for the traditions of his fathers, thinking he was doing God's work by persecuting the church, that he was a real enemy. And so when he was transformed by the power of the gospel, he became a brand new person. And so I really want to kind of lean in on these last couple verses in this little section. This is out of Galatians 1, starting with verse 22. He says, I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. And I think if you could sum up what the power of a testimony does, that it causes someone to glorify God because of your story. Because of what you once were and what they now see you to be, there's a glorifying of God that is the end result. So for Freedom Friday, I want to open up the phone lines and just ask you this question. What aspect of your life is now so different that people can only point to God? For Paul, it's the fact that he used to persecute Christians. Now he's preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. That's a pretty big shift. So what is it for you? What about your life in Christ is so different now that people can only point to God? What do you say? 312-274-9624. Give us a call. Tell us your story. What's so different now from what it was before that people can only give credit to God? 312-274-9624.
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
I consider myself a collector of stories. It's one of the greatest joys of my life.
But it's not like you do like a podcast about stories or anything like that.
It's so gratifying for me. And I've done, even before I worked in radio, I've just loved hearing people's stories. For a while, I did a website where I kind of just on my own wrote feature stories with different testimonies.
Huh.
And I just enjoy hearing the power of God to transform a life and the many different ways that that can look.
Yeah, it really doesn't ever get tiring because there is no story or no two stories that are exactly the same.
Yes.
So it's so pretty cool.
When we look at Galatians 1 and Paul tells a little bit about his own story, he lands here. He says, they only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. That's what people are saying about him. It's interesting, right?
It's insane. Well, because you think, I mean, it's like a Nazi becoming a Jew after World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that drastic. Mm-hmm. The people who hated and despised them now becoming them and saying, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And then verse 24, and they glorified God because of me. So these churches that once feared Paul, and maybe some might, there's a chance that some might still have some skepticism.
I could imagine it would probably be a little hard to stand close to him in the worship service.
Maybe the first time he shows up, you're like, ah. But that was what the word out there was, that guy who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. So I want to ask you today, what aspect of your life in Christ is so radically different that people could only point to God? This could be external, like Paul, that you were once violent, you were once in a gang, you were once addicted, and now your life looks totally different. Could be external. It could be internal.
I think for a lot of us, it's internal.
It could be a major internal shift that happened that people can only point to God. Let's go to the phones. Frank, thanks for calling in this morning from Crown Point. What aspect of your life in Christ looks so radically different that only God could get the credit?
Sure. God bless you guys. So in high school, I had the high school sweetheart broke my heart and developed this anger towards marriage, thought it was something I'd never want and would make fun of people, hated going to weddings. And by the grace of God, he opened my eyes. I found an amazing woman to be my bride. And just the thing I love about marriage, and I tell people all the time, is you're robbing yourself of this opportunity to understand the relationship of Christ as our groom and us being the church as his bride. And in addition to that, the understanding the relationship of God as our Father. When you have children, that just opens up your eyes, I believe, to that relationship so much more. And it's only, again, by the grace of God, from where I was to where I am now, totally preaching the beauty and wonderful thing of marriage and having children, again, only by the grace of God.
Frank from Crown Point, thank you so much for your call this morning.
You know, something I love about Frank's story is God has the power to erase bitterness from our lives.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
The hatred for the idea of marriage came from a place of hurt and bitterness and pain. And God can erase that. He can heal that. And I love that story because don't we all want the hurt and the bitterness and the pain to be at ease and for us to feel peace in our lives?
Yeah. Good word, Young Thunder.
Need a wake-up call? We can help with that. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
What aspect of your life in Christ is so radically different from who you once were that only God can get the credit? What do you say? 312-274-9624.
For me, I'm a truth teller.
Ooh.
Now, I think before, in many different ways, I was not. I was really good at lying. I was really good at hiding, you know, what I wanted to hide.
Yeah.
In front of who I wanted to hide it in front of. And I was really good at exaggerating a story, you know, to maybe get some attention, to be noticed. And after I was saved, I have no, in like, I praise God for it, have no freedom to just tell lies. And I love it. And I'm grateful.
Holy Spirit constraints that.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah. So and it that may seem like a little thing, but if you were inside me right now, you would know it's not a little thing, because it did dictate so much of my life. And to know that I'm free from that now, and that God has given me the grace, and how incapable I was to stop doing that on my own, you know, it's only by the grace of God.
I love that, because this, I keep stressing that this is both external and internal. Sometimes it's the external circumstances of your life that people look at you and go, man, you used to be a mess. Mm. You were messed up in this and this and this. But sometimes it's you had the outer trappings of a good Christian kid.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, I mean, before I was saved, everybody thought I was this amazing Christian kid with a ministry mindset. And so it is easier to fool people than you think, and fool yourself sometimes too.
Sure.
Into thinking things that aren't true.
But that external or internal shift, both of them are only by the power of Christ. So what aspect of your life, inside, outside, every side, is so radically different that only God can get the credit? 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. Let's go to Ella from Hickory Hills. What do you say? What aspect of your life looks so different now?
When I became a believer, one thing that changed for me so much was the way I dressed.
Mm. Okay.
Because I used to wear short dresses and kind of clothes that made me feel like, you know, I belong, like I want to look a certain way. And then God truly changed it, and He showed me that only He can do it. And I want to glorify Him in the way I look, in the way I speak, in the way I talk. And that truly was a huge difference. And even people saw that only He could do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't change it by myself, because I wanted to be like the world, you know, how mm-hmm. the TV shows we have to look a certain way. But God tells us to follow Him and be an example.
Ella, thank you so much for your call from Hickory Hills. And I love the way you explained it, because sometimes when people talk about how you dress or modesty, immediately, I think for a lot of people, it gets a little bit uncomfortable. Like,
oh, sure.
Oh, don't be messing with how I dress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But the way Ella described it, that it was this inside out change. So the last thing you want to do I'm going to insert my own opinion here. This is me speaking, not on behalf of anyone. But I think one of the worst things you can do to somebody who's a new follower of Christ is to try to go and tell them all the things about their external self that needs to change. You're a Christian now, so you need to dress like this. You need to wear your hair like this. You need to look the part, essentially.
Yeah. You got to be careful about
that. You got to be careful about that, because the outward appearance is not the thing that God's looking at. But what happens is what Ella said, that when there's this internal change, there are physical aspects that you may decide you want to start adjusting. But it's the inside out that I think is so important.
And we have to... You have to be patient enough and loving enough to let God do some work.
Yes.
Because when you came to Christ, you didn't have it all together.
Exactly.
And you didn't know that everything you were doing may have been wrong. You had to figure it out over time. God gave that to you over time.
Yes.
And so be patient with people who have just come to Jesus, because it may take some time for them to realize and for God to do the work in them.
Hey, newsflash. You're still a work in progress, too, as am I. Let's go to Donna, first-time caller from Dyer, Indiana. What aspect of your life in Christ now looks so radically different from who you once were that only God could get the credit?
Okay, hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm driving on 294. I grew up with alcoholism in my home. So I didn't have good competence or anything. And I ended up drinking and doing drugs and dropping out of high school thinking I was having fun, but I was really in a lot of despair.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting married young, but I got saved then when in my early 20s. And then I ended up having six kids, and they're all my children. And God brought me through a lot with all that. And one of them is a pastor now.
Wow.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
So God's given you new life.
It's given me new life and confidence that I didn't have. I was just really mixed up in a lot of despair. And he's answered so many, you know, he's just really been by my side and gave me a lot of grace. My first husband did pass away. And then God brought another husband, and we had two more children, and that's one of those as a pastor. So God has really taken me, shown me a lot.
Yeah.
I'm walking in His grace. Yes.
Awesome. Donna, first-time caller from Dyer, Indiana. But for the grace of God, where would we be without the grace of God? What about you? What aspect of your life in Christ looks so radically different from who you once were that only God can get the credit? 312-274-9624.
Going from believers of Jesus to followers of Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
We look at Galatians 1. Paul points to a pretty big change in his life, and people had heard about it. They'd heard about him, this guy that used to persecute the church. They heard this. It says, verse 23, they only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Even before they met him, word was traveling quickly that guy that used to persecute us, now he's preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. What aspect of your life in Christ now is so radically different from who you once were that only God could get the credit? 312-274-9624. Gabriella, first-time caller from Chicago, what do you say?
Yes, good morning, Ellie. The one thing that God changed in my life was my heart, changing my heart that was filled with sadness for many, many years, up to like age 40, and just completely filled it with joy. Just changed my whole life. I was, like you said, I didn't have like a drug problem or a great sickness. It was just a sadness that came from childhood trauma and things.
Yeah.
But that kept me kind of hidden and not talking about it. And, you know, with antidepressants and counselors and psychologists. And I just was going in circles until I surrendered to God and just gave it all to Him. And He just putting people in my path. That completely cured my heart, filled it with joy, and just changed everything from marriage to parenting to my whole life.
Gabriella, first-time caller from Chicago. Wow, don't let this be the last time you call. I love hearing stories like that. Thank you so much. What do you say? You got phone lines still open. What aspect of your life in Christ looks so different, so radically different from who you once were? 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. Let's go to Erica calling in from Elgin. Erica, what do you say to this question?
Oh, good morning. So for me, growing up, our house was always full of conflict. And it wasn't just argue through it or walk away. It would always turn physical, whether it was me and my sister or my parents or her and my parents. So after I became a believer, my mom had called me and said, you need to come here. Your sister's really fighting with me. It's getting pretty aggressive. So I went to the house and I grabbed my sister's arm and I pulled her into the car with me. And I had a conversation with her and I prayed through it with her. And she told me that's the day I knew that God changed you and I could see a difference in your life. And I'm so proud of that moment. I'm so thankful that God has pulled me through that, where I don't have to live in like this, you know, constant of, I can't just argue with people. I got to get in their face. I need to like physically move them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's amazing. And I'm so thankful.
Wow. Erica, that's awesome. So that, man, that must have meant so much for your sister to actually see it unprompted. Like, man, this is a really different person than I knew. Right.
Yeah, and I felt it that moment, too. Like, I knew I changed. I knew Jesus changed me. But when I heard her say it, it was this like confirmation, and I was like, okay, people can see Jesus through me too. And thank God our whole family changed. All the abuse, the conflict is all gone, and we're all believers, and we're all on the same page.
Awesome. Erica from Elgin, such a sweet call. Thank you for calling in this morning. What do you say here on this Freedom Friday? Would love to get your story in here. What aspect of your life in Christ now is so different, looks so different from who you once were? 312-274-9624. Nothing like a Freedom Friday here on Moody Radio.
Want to put faces to the names? Just follow Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget, that's Carl with a K.
You know, the story was getting out. People were hearing about it. There was no social media, no phones. I don't even think they had ways to, there was no printing press, so there were no flyers or anything. But word was traveling quickly about this guy who used to persecute the church. He's now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. That's going to spread quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, especially if you are a Christian, because you're saying, hey, you know that guy who was going around arresting Christians, having them killed? He's now saying he is one. He's walking around preaching the same thing we preach.
There's something powerful about transformation stories. This is why we watch shows like Extreme Makeover, those home shows, because people love to see that change is possible.
Yes. There's nothing better than a good restoration.
Something hardwired in us that likes to see that that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, there's these strange videos that are mesmerizing. I've seen them on social media, where they'll take like, you watch somebody clean something.
Huh.
And it could be like a rug that's really dirty. And then it's like you watch and there's cool music, and then you watch the first layer of soap go down, and then the machine goes over and a little bit more of the carpet is revealed, but it's still filthy. And I don't know why these things are like, I find myself watching them, and then you see the water, and then it gets scraped away. And over time, you're like waiting to see what's this carpet.
What's it going
to
look like?
It was totally brown from all of the dirt and then you see after layer and layer of the dirt is removed, and then all of a sudden you see this carpet that's, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one.
No, I feel the same way. There's nothing better than like a good Bounty or like scrubbing bubbles commercial where they show you how good their product like picks up the spill or cleans the grime on the bathtub.
Mold along the bathroom caulking, and then they put that layer of gel, and all of a sudden in the next frame it's bright white, you know.
Restoration is satisfying.
There's something about us that's hardwired to love seeing that change is possible. So the story was going around about this guy, Paul, who was a persecutor of the church. They hadn't even met him yet, but they'd heard about him. This is Galatians 1:22. And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. What's your story this morning? What aspect of your life in Christ is so radically different than who you once were that only God could get the credit? 312-274-9624. Let's go to Joshua from Chicago. Thanks for calling in this morning. What do you say?
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I want to first off thank God for, opening my eyes again today. I want to go ahead and give credit to God because he saw... You know, he had faith in me. He believed in me, even though I was there, a drug addict, always looking for excuses. I was baptized over a year ago, and I would always be like, you know what, maybe on Sunday I'll go to church, always doing drugs and this and that every weekend. He touched my heart by sending me brothers to me and, telling me to go back to church. I finally did, he opened my eyes, and I did. I want to thank him for that. Now I'm a changed man. I'm going to church 3 times a day, 5 a.m., 9 a.m., and 7 p.m., and I'm dedicated to that. I'm showing my kids. I'm taking all my family in a small car, like a Ford Fiesta, all 7 of us. I know it, but we're all going to the church to praise God, and I'm very, very thankful. And I started hearing you guys, Moody Radio, like about a week ago, and I love it. You know, I love everything. I let my kids hear him. hear, like, you know, gospels and all that. And, you know, thank you guys. Thank you for everything you guys do. And thank God as well for touching your hearts and letting us do this.
Joshua, thank you so much for calling in this morning, Joshua from Chicago. You know what? Bring Joshua back up. Young Thunder, I want you to pray for our brother Joshua. Will you do that?
I would love to. Father, I thank you so much for Joshua and his fresh heart for you. Lord, I pray that the fire that he has in his heart for you, the passion that he has to be with you and to spend time with you, Lord, I pray that that would never die down. Lord, I pray that you would continue to send brothers and sisters in Christ into his life that can just spur him on, that can build him up in the vision that you have for him, Lord, that can build him up in what you have for his life. Lord, I pray that you would fill Joshua with wisdom. I pray that you would fill him with strength for trials that he faces. He's got a big family, Lord, a lot of people to take care of. And I just pray that you would sustain him as he shows them what it looks like to be a man, a father, a husband in Christ. Lord, we praise you for Joshua and for his story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Joshua from Chicago. Love when we hear from Moody Radio listeners who are new to the family.
Yeah.
So glad you found us, Joshua. Let's go to Zaria, first-time caller from Chicago. Zaria, what aspect of your life is so radically, looks so radically different now that only God could get the credit?
My heart, my actions. I became a leader back then. I was angry all the time. And now God changed my heart in a way that I can just have peace. Peace with others, peace with myself, and patience. You know, God is healing. God is everything. And I encourage everybody out there to just let God, allow God to change them for the better.
Yes, Zaria, first-time caller from Chicago. You hit on something, that it's God who does the changing. Let God change you for the better. All of those attempts that we make to make ourselves a little bit better, to clean ourselves up, nope, you can't do it. So let's not waste our time and effort trying. You got to let God do that work in you. Let's get one more. Kathy, first-time caller from Lady Lake, Florida. Awesome. Are you listening to us on the app this morning?
Yes, I was.
Fantastic.
I have something that I know that there is no way that it could have been anything else but God. From the time I was 25 years old to the time I was 48 years old, I was addicted to drugs, everything, cocaine, methamphetamine, everything that you could possibly name. On October 31st, 2005, laying on the floor in a jail cell, I asked the Lord to take the taste away from me, and that if he would take the taste away from me, that I would serve him for the rest of my life. I am here to tell you that today, on this day, I am been clean and sober since October 31st, 2005. I have never touched methamphetamine again or any other drug or alcohol. I'm sober, clean and sober. And that is all for the glory of God.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Kathy, first-time caller from Lady Lake, Florida. Thank you so much for calling in. Sweet, sweet story. Praise God. What about you? Freedom Friday. We'll get some more calls. What aspect of your life in Christ looks so radically different that people can only point to God? 312-274-9624. And if you're going, man, I need change like that. Is it possible for me too? I'll tell you how. The answer is yes.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
Did you know that it's possible for you to walk free today? Free from the chains of addiction, free from the prison of your own making, maybe physical, maybe literal, maybe emotional, probably spiritual, definitely spiritual. Our spiritual state from the very beginning is that we are born into sin. As Young Thunder, you and your bride just welcomed a new baby, just 3 weeks old today. And it's hard to conceive that there could be anything less than perfection in this little baby girl, right?
Yeah, I know what you're about to say, too.
And it's wild, though, right?
It is. I look at her, and it's funny because I haven't even thought about that yet. We talk about it here all the time.
Right.
But I haven't even thought about that. So as you're saying, and I'm like, Oh, she is born into sin. She is born with her back turned to God, because we all are.
Because we all are. Even 3-week-old perfection,
yes.
Our state, our condition because of the fall, from the very beginning, we are born with our back to God. And although she appears sinless and perfect at 3 weeks, it does not take long for us to see that our bent is not toward holiness. Our bent is toward deviance. Our bent is toward going our own way. And as we progress throughout life, we see it more and more graphically. So maybe I don't even have to work hard to convince you that you're born into sin, because you have more than enough evidence that confirms it. So maybe I don't even need to build that case for you. But that is our state from the very beginning, which leaves us with a real problem. Our sin separates us from God. So there's this gap. There's this gap that we cannot fill. We cannot make ourselves holy. We cannot make ourselves better. We cannot clean ourselves up to make ourselves acceptable to God. So what do you do? It leaves us in this state of, if you just stop there, it leaves us in this state of sort of hopelessness, of just trying to do the best we can, extract as much joy and pleasure as we can out of this life. But Jesus, God sent his son because of his love for you and his love for me. God sent his son Jesus into the world to live a sinless, perfect life so that he could take on the sins of the world, take on the judgment that you and I deserve on our behalf, so that when we turn to him, when we accept him as our Savior, when we receive the free gift that's offered to us, we can stand not in our own merit, but stand in the righteousness of Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, when he was crucified, this actually happened. This isn't a myth. This isn't a story. This isn't a, as long as you believe in something. Jesus took on the form of man, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and then on the third day, he was rose from the grave. That's what we just celebrated a couple weeks ago when we celebrated Easter. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His new life means you and I can have new life. We can have abundant life now, where we can walk free, not from the problems of the world, but we can walk knowing that we have peace with God, that when we turn to him, when we ask for our sins to be forgiven, when we make him the Lord of our lives and not ourselves, we can stand in the righteousness of Christ. We can have new life now, and we can be assured that we will spend eternity with God, not an eternity separate from him. So I want to ask you today, are you walking free? Do you know the power of the gospel? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, then today's your day. Only, though, only if you're ready. Only if you're ready. This isn't a let me try to add Jesus on to my life. This is a whole new way of living. This is a literal 180, where you turn from the life that you're living. You're no longer in control of your own life, and you turn and make him your Lord and your Savior. Right, Young Thunder?
Oh, yeah.
This is not just a get-out-of-hell-free pass.
I tried that one. It didn't work. and it's not worth it.
No.
So, you know, I used to think, if I can just get to heaven, I don't really care if Jesus is there. I just want the paradise part. The problem is that we are missing what we think paradise is. Paradise is not the place. It is the person who is there that greets us, and that is Jesus, our God, our King.
Yeah. So if today you want to start to walk free, you want to start that relationship with God, I encourage you to just do something that's very simple, but will be the best thing that you ever do, where you have an honest conversation with God, where you acknowledge what's true about you, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Hard stop. Not that, oh, I've tried, but I know I'm not perfect. No, no, no. You got to get to that point where you're at the bottom, where you go, there's nothing good in me. I am a sinner. I am helpless to save myself. I need a Savior, and I know now today that it's Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner. I am turning away from my old life, and today I'm turning to you. Will you be my Lord and Savior? If you're ready, have that conversation with God. If you need to pull off to the side of the road, I would encourage you, do whatever you have to do. Cry out to God. Cry out from your own heart, and trust that today is the day of salvation for you. I want to pray for you. Lord, for the person who today is turning to you, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would make it so clear and so plain. God, I know that sometimes it doesn't all make sense, but I pray by the power of your Spirit, it would, that eyes would be open, that truth would be revealed, and that a life would be changed today. Thank you for the promise of abundant life now and eternal life in the life to come. God, thank you that we don't have to remain dead in our sins, that we can walk free with you. So for the person who today is making that change, you already knew. You already knew that they would. You knew that this day was coming. And Lord, thank you that all of heaven now rejoices over the one, maybe just one, who today starts a new life in Christ. Would you bless them? Would you bring people around them who are going to encourage them and build them up? Would you help them to grow? Let their roots go down deeply, quickly, Lord. Let them walk free with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that's you, we have something for you. It's a resource that's going to give you some practical next steps. Just text the word NEW to 312-274-9624. Text the word NEW to 312-274-9624. What you're going to get back, spend some time with it. There's some hyperlinks. There's even going to be a free resource that we will send to you. Text NEW to 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.